Welcome back to State of Belief Radio. I'm Welton Gaddy. It would be unforgivable to normalize yet another outrage emanating from the current occupant of the Oval Office, and so the media needed to address the expletives he used in describing African nations and Haiti this week. At the same time, the president is a master of the TV game, and he knows full well that this kind of controversy does not shake his standing with his base, even as it once again drowns out serious reporting on the multiple investigations of his closest advisors that are continuing every day. How do we pursue a responsible agenda for the nation despite all of the distractions coming from the top? I'm joined now by Rabbi Jack Moline, president of Interfaith Alliance. Jack, welcome back.
Thank you, Welton.
Jack, somebody's lying. And that's got to be a problem, or are we somehow just getting a closer look at the level of dishonesty Washington has, in fact, being subjecting us to all along?
Well, I wasn't in that room. Only the people who were there know exactly what happened. So it's hard for me to say what is the truth and what is not the truth. But I do know that there are some people making a very fine distinction between being truthful and being honest. It really doesn't matter to me whether the president talked about holes or houses. A house is not a hole, may be the case, but it's the first part of that word that denigrates people who come from a segment of our human family that is every bit divine in its image as you or I or anybody from Norway or any other predominantly white country. So the distress here is that there are people who are trying to cover up some very, very denigrating and inappropriate language that is emanating from the office that is supposed to represent the inalienable rights of every human being. And that's the distressing part of this.
There's been so much focus on the so-called strong language Donald Trump allegedly used. But even if he had called Africa and Haiti oil wells, the much bigger issue is a nationalistic, materialistic reorientation of the entire premise of America's role in the world. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that completely. We have no surprise in discovering that the president is not focused on foreign policy as a tool of American values. He sees it as a tool of the American economy and the benefits that he thinks should pertain to at least some members of American society. That part of it is not surprising. What is surprising is how many other leaders in our country who have understood the role that America plays in bringing hope and security and capacity to other nations in the world, how many of them are refusing to stand up and simply object to what they're hearing from the commander-in-chief?
Jack, that brings me to a question that I keep asking. How do so many self-professed people of faith justify supporting this man and his immoral policies?
I can only answer for you and me, and it's we don't. But I think that what is happening here, and I don't know whether it is by strategy or by happenstance, I don't know how to evaluate the president in that regard, is that his outrageous behavior is distracting so many people in this country from the policies that are having an impact on people across the country. And as long as we're willing to argue about whether he talked about a house or a hole, we're not willing to talk about what is happening to hundreds of thousands of young people who came here with their parents and are dreamers and want to be a part of the endeavor that is America. While we're busy arguing about that, the hard work and the attention that needs to be paid to matters of policy is going by the wayside. And that is the case with absolutely everything that this White House is about.
The president's own mother was an immigrant who started life here as a cleaning woman. The American dream is in no way the story of merit-based immigration. Instead, it's all about starting from nothing or of fleeing genocidal persecution or of reinventing one's self in a land of opportunity. How can this president and so many of his supporters, including even faith leaders, not get that? Or do they get that and just set it aside?
I think that once a person has become accustomed to a certain privilege or status, it is hard for them to imagine anything otherwise. Mr. Trump did not encounter his mother as the immigrant domestic worker that she was. He encountered her primarily as his father prospered and created a family environment in which young Donald Trump began to believe in his privilege. And even if he does understand that there was some immigrant background that preceded his experience, he's come to believe that his father's experience was typical, and that anybody who is not living up to that model or living up even to his model is of an inferior desirability as a member of the endeavor of this great nation. Our country was not built on the backs of rich people at leisure. It was built by the hard work, sometimes the very involuntary hard work, of people who came to this country with the promise that they would have a better life. And it is the responsibility of those of us who have seen that promise fulfilled to make sure that we don't husband that privilege so that it is unavailable to people, whether they're citizens or not.
We need to take another quick break, but I'll talk more with Jack Moline in just a few minutes. And later, I'll talk with Dr. Jessica Johnson, whose recent Religion Dispatches column is headlined, #Church2, Apology of Evangelical Pastor Accused of Sexual Assault Shows Why Sorry Isn't Enough. If you miss any part of today's show, you can hear full episodes of State of Belief anytime on our website. You'll also find links to the topics we discussed this week, extended interviews and transcripts, and an archive of past shows, all at stateofbelief.com. I'm Welton Gaddy. You're listening to State of Belief Radio, religion and radio done differently.